holding his camera to his chest. I'll sue you! The public has a right to know! He wanted to beat the guy senseless. The urge was so strong he was shaking with it. It was then he knew he had to leave. Otherwise it might not stop before he went nuts and really hurt one of the jerks. Or he simply just went nuts. 1. Rocky Mountains, Spring. He stood at the edge of the mountain that sheered down a good 200 feet before smoothing out into tree-covered ledges and gentle wildflower-covered slopes and sharp, gaping ridges. He breathed in the thin air that was so fresh it burned his lungs, but truth be told, it burned less today than it had yesterday. Soon the frigid, clean air at nearly 6,000 feet would become natural to him. It had been only yesterday that he'd realized he hadn't thought all day about a telephone, a TV, a radio, a fax machine, the sound of other voices coming at him from all sides, about people grabbing at him, shouting questions 6 inches from his face, and those blinding explosions of white from the ever-present flashbulbs. Now, he figured, at last he was beginning to let go, to forget for stretches of time what had happened. He looked across the valley at the massive, raw mountains that stretched mile upon mile like unevenly spaced, jagged teeth. Mr. Gouge, the owner of the Union 76 gas station down in Dillinger, had told him that many of the locals, lots of them Trekkies, called the whole mess of knuckle-shaped mountains the Ferengi Range. The highest peak rose to 12,000 feet, bent slightly to the south, and looked like a misshapen phallus. He wasn't about to climb a mountain with so unsubtle a shape. The folks down in Dillinger joked about that peak, saying it was a sight with snow dropping off it in the summer. He was aware again, as he was so often, of being utterly alone. At this elevation there were thick forests of conifers, mainly birch, fir, and more ponderosa pine than anyone could begin to count. He'd seen lots of quaking aspen, too. No logging companies had ever devoured this land. On the higher elevation peaks across the valley, there were no trees, no flowers, as there were here in his alpine meadow, just snow and ruggedness, so much savage beauty untouched by humans. He looked toward the small town of Dillinger at the far end of the valley that stretched from east to west below. It claimed 1,503 souls. Silver mines had made it a boom town in the 1880s, nearly bursting the valley open with more than 30,000 people— miners, prostitutes, store owners, crooks, an occasional sheriff and preacher, and very few families. That was a long time ago. The descendants of those few locals who had stuck it out after the silver mines had closed down now catered to a trickle of summer tourists. There were cattle in the valley, but they were a scruffy lot. He'd seen bighorn sheep and mountain goats coming down the slopes really close to the cattle, pronghorn antelope grazing at the lower elevations, and prowling coyotes. He'd driven his four-wheel drive Jeep down there just once since he'd been here to stock up on groceries at Clement's Grocery. Had it been Tuesday? 2 days ago? He'd bought a package of frozen peas, forgetting that he didn't have a freezer, just a small high-tech refrigerator that was run off a generator sitting just outside the cabin. He'd cooked those frozen peas on his wood-burning stove, then eaten the entire package in one sitting next to the one bright standing lamp that also worked off the generator. He stretched, caught a glimpse of two hawks flying low, looking for prey, and took his axe back to the stump beside the cabin where he was splitting logs. It didn't take him long to pull off his down jacket, then his flannel shirt, then his undershirt, and still he worked up a sweat. His rhythm sped up. The sun felt hot and good on his skin, seeping in to warm his muscles. He felt strong and healthy. He was in business. He knew he had more logs than he could use for the next week, but he just kept to that hard, smooth rhythm, feeling his muscles flex and loosen, grow tight with power and release. He stopped a moment to wipe the sweat off his face with the sleeve of his shirt. Even his sweat smelled fresh, as if his innards were clean. He heard something. A very faint sound. It had to be an animal. But he'd gotten used to the owls and the sparrowhawks, to the chipmunks and the skunks and to the wolves. This sound wasn't one of them. He hoped it wasn't another person invading his mountain. His was the only cabin in the high meadow. There were other cabins, but they were lower, at least a half mile away. No one came up here, except maybe in the summer to hike. It was mid-April, no hikers yet. He hefted his axe again,